1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I trust you're there with me as we cover some other one another's of the New Testament. We're almost to the end of the series. There are several more that I can touch. There are several that we won't directly touch because I've already touched that theme in this one another series as well. But comfort one another. Now, these passages are really unique. When we think of comforting one another, especially in a local assembly or within our families, we often think of tragedy and something that's grievous or burden and so forth, and that clearly is something, a ministry that we are to have to one another. These verses, though, in particular, deal with something that we don't often think, we don't often tie comfort with, and that is this. We need to comfort one another with true doctrine. You see, these believers were facing people that were teaching them falsehoods about the reality of God and what His plan was. And they needed their hearts comforted. Have you ever considered, when you share the gospel, this would be a dramatic point in this type of comfort, but when you share the gospel with someone who is lost and in darkness, that you are actually providing comfort to them, that their salvation, obviously it brings peace, it brings joy, it brings assurance, all those things. But the same thing happens when you're helping a believer overcome false doctrine in his life. So a faith that's in a wrong, if I can put it as a wrong faith or a wrong doctrine, actually leads to wrong living and loss of hope. I am grateful for several men in my father's life who taught him Scripture well, led us out of the church he was in and into a Baptist church that was teaching the truth. He was living his life based on some lies. That's really strong words, but that's reality, okay? And as dad and mom grew in the Lord and came to understand Scripture in all of its truthfulness and righteousness, in a sense, they had no choice but to become Baptists like we are here, that love God's Word and strive to do all that we can to follow the Bible alone. That's our only rule of faith and practice, all right? Not man's teachings, not some doctrinal system that's overlaid over Scripture and you read the Scriptures through that filter. No, the Scriptures become the filter for life. We look at life through the Scriptures, rightfully interpreted. I understand that. But the Scriptures tell us how to do that too, by the way. And if you've forgotten, come to my new members class once we get that going again. We'll talk all about it again there, all right? I guess that stuff gets me pretty fired up, all right? I get excited about teaching those things. So we provide comfort. Dad was comforted and mom was comforted spiritually when they were taught right doctrine. Okay, so here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18 is where we get the phrase from. Wherefore, we would have you... I'm getting to the right chapter, I'm sorry. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, let me give you the two blanks in our phrase, in our sentence here, and then we'll back up and talk about it a little bit. Biblical knowledge, there's your blank. Biblical knowledge is the key to providing words of comfort. Now, I will tell you that the person hearing the words must receive those words in order to get the comfort. But you cannot provide comfort if you don't give them right words. And knowing the truth of the Scriptures is what will provide ultimately the best and the only true comfort to any soul. No matter what, now I'm stepping back from the doctrinal statement here, no matter what the circumstance is in that needy person's life, if you want to give them comfort, what do you need to give them? The knowledge of Scripture. You need to take God's word and apply it to their problem or to their situation. Your story and your experience doesn't count. It may be a helpful illustration, but that's all. Only the inspired, truthful, comforting word of God will provide ultimate comfort for that person if they accept it and believe it, all right? So now, Verse 18 is a bookend in the scripture here. Verse 13 is the other bookend, the front bookend. So let's back up. Many of you know these verses. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. So there's the opposite of biblical knowledge. I don't want you to be ignorant when it comes to the truth, the scriptures. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Those that have already passed on are, it's a beautiful picture of a believer has been buried and is awaiting the resurrection. All right, their body is asleep. They are obviously with the Lord, Philippians chapter 1 and so forth. Their soul is with the Lord, their body is asleep. Beautiful picture. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And we're going to come to that word in the next verses that we look at here. So, he says, I need to help you understand. So, it appears as though the Thessalonians have been receiving some false doctrine from some teachers coming through, whatever, or maybe even among themselves. We're not sure exactly how it, but there was this thought, it appears, that, oh no, my brother or sister, my mom or dad have died in the Lord, and they haven't lived until the rapture, till the Lord returns. Does that mean they're lost? That's essentially the question that was running through the Thessalonians' mind. And so what does Paul do? He instructs them with biblical truth. Now, I understand, and let me grant you this, and I want you to make sure you understand, your pastor understands this. This is obviously something that we are learning in Scripture from maybe not necessarily the first time, but early on. This is being inscripturated, all right, that Paul is giving them biblical instructions, and it's being written down to teach us about the rapture. But again, he says in verse 18, take this truth that I've just taught you, God's word, and comfort the soul of each one of you. So what were the truths that Paul taught them here? Well, let's talk about the rapture, he says. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, oh, the doctrine of the resurrection, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Because Jesus died and rose again, so all those who believe in him will rise again too. There's the doctrine. All right? Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is God's word, Paul says. This is not my word. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, or another way to put this is precede them which are asleep. We're going to no way hinder or beat those that have died in Christ when the Lord returns. For the Lord himself, he's describing here the rapture for us. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. All right, so here's my proof text that the Lord loves brass instruments. Anyways, okay. Thank you, Dory. Okay, I needed my daughter laughing at me. There we go. Okay, there we go. Keep on going. He'll send with the voice, a shout with the voice of trump, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, what? Shall rise first. We won't precede them. They'll precede us. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, this is the one of the critical passages that teach us about the doctrine of the rapture. Notice there are several distinctions here between the rapture and what we would call the revelation, where Christ will come, stay on earth, and rule and reign for 1,000 years. In the revelation, the Lord will return with a host. That's us. All right. All right. We'll be riding white horses with him. We'll be his army. But we don't have to fight because he'll still use the word of his mouth, the sword of his mouth. All right, this is all in the book of Revelation. And then he'll annihilate the enemy. He'll judge the wicked. We will step into the millennial kingdom and rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. No, here we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right? I always hated being apart when I was a kid from mom and dad. I'm a little coward, all right, or whatever. And I love mom and dad, and there was just peace when mom and dad are, you know. And my son reminds me of that. We have this whole routine that we have to go through every night. It doesn't bother Dory too much, but Drew, if we step out of routine, I mean, he's not going to sleep good. All right, so we got it. Honestly, honey, I'm sorry. Anyways, okay, there. What a joy to stop and consider. Once I'm with the Lord, I'm never apart from him ever, 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 ever again. Now, he's with me, but then I'll see him face to face. And that so all this theology that in these few verses is wrapped up in the rapture. And then he says these great words, comfort one another with these words. So he doesn't want us to be ignorant. Bookend number one, verse 13. You need biblical knowledge. So he gives the knowledge, and then what do I do? The words that he gave, all right? And that probably is the word there in verse 18 is really specifically speaking of the very word of God, all right? It's the term that Jesus even calls himself, I am the word, all right? And that seems to have that connection here as well. What a wonderful joy. He's revealed himself, and I can use the truth to bring comfort to my soul. So the word comfort is the same word that this is the verb form of the word that we have for the Holy Spirit, the comforter. So come alongside someone, just like the Holy Spirit would come alongside, give them the word of God, and comfort and teach their heart. And they can live at peace and joy. Believer, no. Paul's telling the Thessalonians, no, you will not precede them. You will not prevent them. In fact, they're going to beat us to heaven. All right, their body is going to resurrect before. I think I've mentioned this to you before, but on Deb's tombstone, I put awaiting the rapture. All right? If I'm here on this earth when the Lord comes, her body's going to beat me. All right? And I rejoice in that. What a wonderful joy. And isn't that a comfort? All those that we know in the Lord have gone before us. We'll see them again in living color. Isn't that great? All right? They won't be some wandering spirit. No, no, no. They'll be with the Lord. And they'll be in body. What a joy. Now, true comfort then. Here's your next blank. True comfort deals in facts, not fear. So as we draw from this comfort one another, right, the phrase, and our focus really here is on that portion, not on all the theology, it is really important for us to know that we must present biblical facts in order to bring comfort, whatever the problem may be. When I was preparing for the message, I must tell you, this, the time that we're living in right now just leaps in my face. We live in fear. Our nation and our world lives in fear of a virus. So what do I need to do? Now, this is important, Christian, all right? Because those that want to stay in fear have supposedly all these facts to tell us to keep us scared, okay? And then others, let's get school started and let's let all of our freedoms come back. And, obviously you understand I favor that. But they have all these facts to show. Those aren't the facts I'm necessarily talking about here. Though truth is always important to know. And it's important for us to tell others the truth about whatever the problem is. The fact that we need to know in light of COVID-19 is that God is bigger than COVID-19. I may not ever come to fully understand the workings of how the virus, COVID-19, works, how it's transmitted, how it will affect people's bodies. None of us may know that. Now, science can do some wonderful things, but science is only good as its foundational truths. And if you leave God out of science, guess what happens? You go astray. Now, all that aside, believer, you must know. Here's the fact. God loves you. God's made you. Who holds your life in his hands? God, not the coronavirus. Now, God has called us to be wise, make discernments. I understand that. And in fact, you are demonstrating that tonight. You're all sitting apart. We're not trying to be foolish. but I better not spend my days, even during a pandemic, in fear, because I have a powerful God. He's more powerful than Leviathan, bigger than Behemoth. And my God can take care of me. Now, isn't that comfort to your soul? Now, I will tell you, there have been times it's like, okay, am I going to catch it? And then I have to stop. Whoa, wait a second, Anderson. Now, you be careful, you be wise, Anderson. But at the end of the day, who holds your life? God does. That's right. All right, there we go. My kids are, I'm glad they're listening. Believer, here's reality. Here's reality. Here's truth. Here's fact. If God wants me in heaven and he chooses to use COVID-19 to take me there, that's okay. That's the facts. If God still has a purpose for me to live for another 50 years, all right, that puts me at Claire's plus age, all right, there we go. Then COVID-19 is not going to bother me, even if I catch it. You see, we live for something bigger than just this life. And so I don't have to live in fear. Now, that's the facts that help me deal with the fear. I could waste my day trying to find all the scientific facts to bring me comfort. And tomorrow they'll change. Don't you know? Read the news yesterday and today, and it's changed. Yeah, I'm sure you can find it, okay? But who hasn't changed? God. All right? Now that's comfort, isn't it? So comfort one another with these words. Believer, take God's word and apply it to your problem, and guess what happens? Fear has to leave. What joy. What joy. Well, I expected to get this all done tonight, but I know you didn't. Anyways, okay. We'll close there and we'll get to, because the next part is just as good, all right? He uses the same phrase again, comfort one another, but then adds another phrase, and it blossoms a little bit in ministry. So rejoice in our wonderful God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the joy and blessing of your word. How straightforward it is. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear your truth. Thank you that you bookended these wonderful facts about the rapture for these Christians in Thessalonica that were struggling with some false doctrine. And thank you that you gave them truth, that they could comfort one another. Lord, may we be about running, fleeing to your word and finding truth to live by. Thank you that you've given us in your word all that we need for life and godliness. So help us to run to your word and find comfort. In your name, amen.